Today on Real Life with Pastor Jonas Hill.
Dad, I'm all about action steps, making it practical so you don't have to just get theory. I have dads tell me what to do to fix it. Why don't you do this by the end of the day? Go ask your daughter, ask your son. If they don't live with you, you can text it. What could I do? Give me one thing that I could do to be a better dad to you today.
It's time now for Real Life with Pastor Jonas Hill. You've got to get real to be real. Here now is your host, Pastor Jonas Hill.
That is such a powerful question that was asked by our special guest today, Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. What could I do to be a better dad to you today? This is just one of the great many challenges that my guest, Dr. Michelle, brought up during our conversation a few months back at the AACC World Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Pastor Jonas Hill, and I want to welcome you to a brand new edition of my show, Real Life, where you've got to get real to be real. Before I introduce my guest, I want to remind you that you can listen to this show on all the major podcast platforms. If you do happen to listen on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate it if you can give the show a rate and leave a review. Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield is a licensed professional counselor, speaker, author, and founder of the ABBA Project, an educational process group formed for dads of daughters aged 13 to 30. She's the radio podcast host of The Dad Whisperer, a co-chair of the Father-Daughter Initiative at the National Center for Fathering. She seeks to live out her God-given assignment by inspiring, equipping, and leading fathers to dial in to their daughters' hearts with more intentionality and consistency. You can learn more about her at drmichellewatson.com. We had such a wonderful and informative conversation that I know you're going to really enjoy. This is one of those episodes that I'm sure you're going to want to share with your family and friends. Let's get to my interview now with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield on today's edition of Real Life.
All right. Hello, Michelle. I was so very excited to have you online with us today. We're so excited about what you have to share with us. So can you start off by telling our listeners a little more about you and your past, some of the family dynamics that you experienced in your life growing up?
Oh, my goodness. You're starting in the deep end, Jonas. I love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, how about if I start just by saying I'm the oldest of four girls, was born in California. Moved to Oregon when I was 10 for my dad to go to seminary to become a pastor like you. And my parents had no template of how to follow God. Dad was raised Catholic, mom was raised Lutheran. Both had a lot of abuse in their families in different ways. So imagine the collision when they met each other in the Army. And my mom was my dad's boss at the Presidio in California. And next thing you know, they get engaged, but they did not know they were pregnant with me when they got married. So they didn't start out on the most solid of footing on a lot of levels. And when we moved to, you know, Oregon, at that point, I had said yes to Jesus. And I've always been an all-in for him woman, girl, and then woman. And so as the oldest of four girls, I look back now and realize that as God has given me a lane for fathers of daughters specifically, that in some ways I'm sharing, here's what my dad did right. Here's things that without a template of how to be a dialed in dad, because his dad was an alcoholic, not dialed in to these kids' lives, three different last names among them. You know, my dad was in gangs from the time he was 12. I mean, no template of how to be a dad. So there's things my dad did, I'll call it right. There's things he did right and well, but then there's also things that I always wished I could have had more of. And Jonas, it was long into this assignment from God that I realized, I think sometimes I'm writing and speaking to men to help them understand their daughters better. I say I want to help them decode their daughters in order to dial into the heart space of their daughters, because there are things I wish my dad would have talked to me about more or would have had a longer bandwidth for listening to his talkative daughter who had, I was the one that had report cards from the time I was in fourth grade that said, Michelle talks too much. Who would have ever thought God would have given me a ministry to talk? And I think sometimes if you're that dad going, oh my goodness, she makes my ears bleed, she may have a calling from God to use that voice, and you want to steward that well. And let me just say now the part I'll segue into how I landed in this space of father-daughter relationships, because you're saying, how did my upbringing, right, impact, I would say, my calling, is that I have mentored young women and counseled young women for most of my adult life, and I'm 63, so that's been a long time, since I was 19. And it was born out of not only my own counseling and healing journey that I became a counselor. So I started counseling at the age of 38 as a therapist, which is quite late, right, for a lot of people in my field. But I had mentored young women in churches and in other kind of scenarios of camping ministries, and so often heard those daughters talk about either a dad void or a dad wound. And a lot of dumb, stupid emotional responses to either assuage that wound, because it hurts a lot, so they go looking for love in all the wrong places, or they're doing something to fill a void, a dad absence. And I want to see a healthier country from the ground up, and I believe so much of that has to do with healthier women, and a lot of that has to do with helping women find healing from father wounds or father voids. And so then in December of 09, I was reading in Luke 1 how God told Zechariah that his yet-to-be-born son, John, would help turn the hearts, not the heads, of fathers to their children. Mm-hmm. And I heard God say, that's what I want you to do. A month later, emailed 11 dads whose daughters were my clients at the time in their teens and their 20s. So right in the sweet spot of your girls, saying, Dad, how would you like to join me once a month for 6 months to see if there's a change in you, your daughter, and your relationship? 10 of the 11 dads, Jonas, said, we're in. And I had people telling me, men do not add more to an already full plate unless there's a need. Am I right?
Right. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. So these dads kept coming, and we ended up going a year. Now, mind you, I had no curriculum. I just had this assignment from God to start this men's group for dads, for fathers. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so it's called the Abba Project. Abba meaning daddy in Aramaic, and men love a project. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Tell me what to do to what? Fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I got started. It was an assignment from God that has a backstory in my relationship with my dad. And now I led groups for 10 years. And now I'm looking at doing some curriculum around that. I've written a couple books for dads of daughters, do podcasting, the Dad Whisperer podcast for dads of daughters. So that's really kind of a backstory in a brief way of how I landed here.
So what's been the response, the early response, whenever you first launched this ministry? What was the early response from the fathers?
Okay, I'm guessing you have a reason you asked that. You're probably not surprised to hear me say that they were like, what is a woman doing in our space telling us how to be a father? Am I right?
You're right.
Were you thinking that?
I was thinking
You're
that.
You're like, why did they listen to you early on? Absolutely. I remember the first men's conference I was asked to speak at in Colorado. And I could literally feel the thick air in the room. Like, I thought it was going to be like, yay, we're all buddies, you know? No. I could literally feel the hostility that I was there. I almost felt like it was a no girls allowed club. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't help it. God gave me this assignment. I didn't pick it. Please don't judge me until you've heard my heart.
Yeah.
I had to spend time in my rental car in the parking lot to prepare my heart. Mm-hmm. And God told me, Michelle, he gave me three things. He's like Esther, you've been called for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And you lean into that calling from me. And he said, this is their stuff. It's not you. It's their stuff. And you say what I gave you to speak. I still remember that from 2015. And he said, wow. You get in there. And I did. You know what happened?
What?
We had a 2-hour break after I spoke. There were a few of us that all did these smaller kind of talks that ended up being kind of one whole rather than keeping men sitting too long. We all kind of broke it up. I never left the venue for the 2-hour break. Men lined up going, where do we go learn? Like, we don't know where to go to ask for directions is essentially what they were saying. But I came to their space. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of something where then other people would say, hey, who should we have speak at our men's conference? So right before COVID, I'd done 4 men's conferences that year around the country. COVID hit. It's been kind of a slow build again. But it really is my honor to step into that space with men. Uh-huh. And when another dude tells another dude, you can trust her, I vetted her. Then they invite me and I come and I show up. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. I don't have a seductive spirit. Uh-huh. So I don't call out a spirit of lust in men.
Right.
Because that's a dangerous dance mm-hmm. between men and women, married or unmarried. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
And so I've had a lot of healing from my sexual abuse from men. Mm-hmm. And God has done enough healing that doesn't get activated. And I don't say that in any way, shape, or form to sound arrogant. Mm-hmm. But I'm calling out even those men or women that are listening. If you're on either side of that continuum, mm-hmm. as a woman that you love kind of flirting and playing with that power, you mm-hmm. got to bring that to the Lord. That's got to stop, because we mess with men's heads and hearts and relationships. Mm-hmm. And men, if you've got a spirit of lust and you think, oh, it's just one look, mm-hmm. you're doing damage to your wife's heart.
Yeah.
And that's got to stop.
Right.
So that's where I roll and that's where I get invited. Yeah. But I love that question. What mm-hmm. happened early on? Because yeah. it's different now, 13 years later, of starting this ministry to men. But really, it's that God's sent me here from my planet of Venus to your planet of Mars. Uh-huh. I now say I'm bilingual. I speak Martian and Venusian.
Uh-huh. That's very good. Yeah. So my mind kind of goes to the space of, a lot of times great things grow out of the pain from our past. So looking back on your life, whenever you were in the home of your father, can you tie it to any specific incident or any series of events that took place, your relationship with your father, that would have caused this initial pain that allowed this great ministry to be born?
You know, I think I'll actually steer this to more with my mom's dad, my grandfather, mm-hmm. where there was sexual abuse there from him to me and others. And, you know, he married my grandma, got kicked out of Bible college, but I think he maybe left willingly, but it's kind of the same thing. Yeah. She got married in a black wedding dress, you know, so here there was this stigma and shame around his sexual decisions. And he wouldn't walk my mom, his oldest daughter, down the aisle. He wouldn't walk her down because someone had seen them come out of a hotel room. So you look at that going, oh my goodness. You know, you weren't even living it, but now he kind of had a maybe better than thou attitude. But he did walk my mom down the aisle and she was pregnant with me and no one knew. I'm just like, this is the hand, if you will, that my mom was dealt. And then my dad, his dad, you know, I told you he was in gangs from the time he was little. His dad was an alcoholic, not in the home much. So they both come to marriage. You talk about pain there. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to parent. So they come to Jesus when I'm 5. Yay. But that doesn't make it all better. Mm-hmm. Is how do you get the word in you? How do you get Jesus really right living out kind of a renewed, transformed mind and life, mm-hmm. life out of a relationship with Christ? Doesn't happen overnight, right?
Right, right.
But I look at that and say, deep in my gut, Jonas, I often felt, I guess I would say deformed. I that's the word that comes to my mind, which I've never used before. So I don't think that's quite the word, but defective. I guess that's mm-hmm. what I would say. Because of my sexual abuse, like a lot of women, it's like I just had this deep knowing something was broken in me.
Right.
And then what happened out of that is 28 to 30, I'm doing youth ministry in my church, I'm doing music ministry, and I'm dating an abuser who verbally, mentally, emotionally abuses me. One time we broke up and I wrote down 66 things he didn't like about me. Wow. And I got back together with him 2 months later.
Yeah.
I weighed too much. I said cute and awesome too much. I laughed too loud. I mean, pretty much everything I did mm-hmm. was wrong. And it was born out of that relationship that I called a counselor and said, I got to do something. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not okay. But I felt that oftentimes, and it's a different day and age now than it was in the early 80s, but I didn't know where to go with my stuff.
Right.
So there was tons of pain inside of me. And I didn't grow up in a culture in my Baptist church where mm-hmm. you could say I'm not okay.
Right.
And I think sometimes with dads that want their daughters, maybe their sons too, of course, maybe to be perfect or better than they were, or this is their chance for redemption, mm-hmm. and their kids feel that weight, the more you as a dad can be vulnerable and open up your story, I think kids hunger to not just know what you did right, but what did you learn the hard way that no one taught you?
Yeah. Right.
In fact, in the back of my book, the last section is called Lead Your Daughter to Listen. It's where a daughter, we flip the script and a daughter asked dad about his life. Mm-hmm. What did you learn the hard way no one taught you? What do you wish you would have known and done different? Like, you get to tell your daughter how resilient you are, mm-hmm. how you pursued forgiveness and mm-hmm. and you modeled that to her. Not just that you did it all right, but what did you learn out of the things that didn't go maybe always the way you thought they would? But I have a lot of that part of my painful story that God now uses in the trenches of mm-hmm. being a, you know, a counselor now for almost 30 years. And oftentimes I do open up my story and then they say, oh, really? Okay, you get it. I'm going to open up with you. Yeah. And I want to see dads mm-hmm. lead their kids that way in opening up their story and then what God did and what he taught them and lead differently from that place.
Mm-hmm. So you've counseled, obviously, with lots of dads. What are some of the things that you pick up on that dads really struggle with in the relationship with their daughters?
There's kind of two themes I see is that oftentimes their daughters are more emotionally either wired or they're needing emotional outlets and dads are like, not in this house. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of shutting them down. Mm-hmm. Too many words or too much emotion. It's those two things, mm-hmm. too verbal, too emotional. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see dads often wanting to either shut their daughters down or shut them out. So they go, here, go to mom. I'm over here. Mm-hmm. But you know what the research shows? The overriding themes in research, if there's any dads that go, just give me the stats, ma'am. This is just some of the things, is when your children feel connected to you. Now, is that a head or a heart word?
Heart.
Absolutely. And God says, what is it that has to turn? It's the hearts of fathers right. yeah. have to turn. Malachi 4:6, last verse mm-hmm. of the Old Testament before he signed off for 400 years. It's kind of a significant, wouldn't you say, exclamation
yeah,
point to the
so.
Whole Old Testament is if that doesn't happen, dad, the heart of the father turning to his child and the child now reciprocating mm-hmm. and turning to her father or his father, he says, I'm going to come and strike the land with what? A curse. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to look very far, do we, to see the impact of the curse?
Right.
So, dad, the way your heart turns towards your daughter, here's what the research confirms that God already said. This is an important heart-turning kind of dynamic. Your kids will get better grades in school, higher IQ, more likely to finish high school and attend college, less body dissatisfaction and healthier weight, less depression, less anxiety. Dads are going to love this one, especially for a daughter, but really son too. They will delay a sexual debut, which means decreases in teen pregnancy, mm-hmm. more likely to find steady employment, better athletic performance and achievement, more pro-social empathy. Do we need that now more than ever?
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I could go on, but I'm going to give you one last one. Less likely to spend time in jail by 80%.
Wow.
All because of feeling connected to an engaged or an involved father. Uh-huh. So this is a time where I want to preach that message and herald that message that dad, whether or not you've gotten a message from your wife, your ex-wife, your kids, society that you don't matter, God actually wants you to step into the space that is too much for you. Because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's too emotional for what you can handle, we call that expanding your window of tolerance. That's mm-hmm. what we call it in my field, just like muscle. When you go to the gym, you might start with 5 pounds, move up to 8, but you build muscle with what? More reps.
More reps.
More reps. So to go, I'm just not wired that way. You don't get to you don't get to use that excuse.
Right.
Dad, build reps. The more you get used to staying a minute longer than last week to her emotion. You literally might be looking at the clock on the wall for part of the time. More emotion or more words, you will build your tolerance. And that's how your heart turns towards your kids because they say, my dad's all here. Mm-hmm. I can tell he's listening different. And that's what I've loved through the ALBA Project is seeing men grow in their ability to do two of those things.
Yeah. I would like for you to just kind of elaborate a little bit. I like to tell fathers to be fully present. You know, sometimes a father is in the home, but they're not fully present for their children or for their daughters. Can you kind of touch on that a little bit about being fully present for mm-hmm. your daughters?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I want to actually encourage men, affirm men that the research shows that men do better with a shoulder-to-shoulder orientation. Women do better with face-to-face
like
orientation.
Physically.
Hmm. So as women, we say, I don't know that you're listening if I can't see your eyes. By and large, men will say, I don't want to look at your eyes when I talk. I do better with both of us looking forward or both, right? Like we're doing something side by side.
Why do you think that is?
But we're not having to look at each other. I think some of it is probably culture has, has kind of maybe from the time kids were little, boys were little, kind of training them that let's just get out and do things. And building, I think in this culture, we're more aware of really honoring emotional wiring in men and little boys. And so for dads to do that kind of emotional attachment, emotion-focused attachment with their sons and daughters, again, I just cited research, you will have a healthier, stronger daughter and son who will stand out in the crowd. That isn't just mama's job because she can, she's more wired to handle emotion or words. But you learning to sit there and be present also means it's okay if you go, I do better with shoulder to shoulder. But I'm saying, okay, your kids though need your face and they need your eyes. And just like you're doing right now, Jonas, you're looking at me and you're nodding your head. And did you just catch that you did a
Yeah.
That's exactly what being present looks like. It's not rocket science, but it's that you turn your body toward. It means you're going to be inconvenienced, Dad. You know she's going to walk in crying during the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. But when you put down that remote, she's never going to forget it.
Right.
And you are saying to her, you're more important than this game. So expect to be inconvenienced if you want to be a dad who's dialed in and stays present with your kids. And if, you know, even on my website, drmichellewatson.com, I've got lots of free resources and I have something that I wrote. It's even in my two books. First one, Dad, Here's What I Really Need From You, a guide for connecting with your daughter's heart, kind of explaining how daughters are wired. Second one, Let's Talk, conversation starters for dads and daughters. But in both of them, I have something I wrote called the Dialed In Dad Checklist. Again, it's free on my website too. And you can take this 60-item assessment and then you can give it to your kids to also take it on you. How dialed in are you to their life? Do you know the music? Do you listen to the music they listen to? Do you know the names of their friends? You know, do you sit with them at meals? It's just practical things. But it gives you a way, Dad, to say, how present am I being? And here's a way to actually assess myself in specific ways. And it shows you also what you can work on where you score low.
Right, right. It's so, so very important. And I think it also brings you to a place of vulnerability.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're just taking a page out of my first book. One of them is lead with vulnerability. So if you have a daughter that doesn't open up a lot, she's not sharing a lot of what's going on. Hey, Dad, how about taking a step forward and share something with her that you really say to her, I'm trusting you with a part of my story.
Right.
And again, age-appropriate disclosure, self-disclosure, but really modeling to her, and here's what God's teaching me right now. Or here's what your mom taught me. Here's what your mom said, because you're showing your daughter that even as a man, you have a willingness to listen to a woman. So when you ask your daughter or your son, what could I do to be a better dad to you? Dad, I'm all about action steps, making it practical so you don't have to just get theory. I have dads tell me what to do to fix it. Why don't you do this by the end of the day? Go ask your daughter, ask your son. If they don't live with you, you can text it. What could I do? Give me one thing that I could do to be a better dad to you today. Shows you listen.
Yep. What's been some of the bigger responses that you've heard coming back to that question?
Oh my goodness, so many things. Sometimes it's listen more. You kind of get bored. I can tell you look off, but remember shoulder to shoulder. Dads, it's okay if you look away, but come back.
Right, come back.
It's sometimes, you know, the whole listening thing, you know, it could be you don't listen long enough. It's, I hear a lot, it's Dad, you get angry a lot. You get angry way too much. In fact, you know what's interesting? I've never had anything go viral till recently, probably about 4 or 5 months ago. It's a 47-second clip that I did with my friend and Jim Ramos, Men in the Arena. He wanted me to cover all 15 tools in my fathering toolbox in my first book. They took a 47-second clip where all I said is I had a conversation with a dad at church that turned to me and said, oh, we're supposed to say hi. Oh, you do dad-daughter stuff? You're an expert there? Yep. Well, I have a three-year-old. Tell me everything I need to know in 30 seconds. Go. So this is what I say then on this clip that has 3.4 plus million views now. All I said was, drop your anger. You will do more to destroy the heart of your daughter through your anger than anything else. You'll shut her down. You'll destroy her spirit. You'll make her give up. Mm-hmm. You'll make her believe she's unworthy and not lovable. So make a decision today. I said to this dad with a young daughter to drop your anger if you want to see your daughter thrive. Same with your son. But that's another one I hear a lot is my dad's anger. Uh-huh. I just hate it. So I leave the house a lot. And that's where she's going to go looking for love. Where? All the wrong places. Because yeah. I say you can either be a dialed in dad. If not, she's going to go to the dude and the dud. So if you want to be the dad, remember the research shows delay sexual debut. Who dials in to the heart space of your daughter and your son, you got to drop your anger.
Yeah, drop your anger. That's so, so critical. And I'm really glad that you said that because I think that's something that relates to a lot of fathers.
And I'm going to say one more thing, Dad, because again, I'm kind of bringing my clinical experience and my work for 13 years with dads kind of together, is give yourself a timeout when you're angry. Because what it means is your midbrain is on fire and it floods this front part of your brain is called your prefrontal cortex. Do you know it goes offline when we have big emotion? It means you're not thinking real clear. So you remember how you gave your kids like a 3-minute timeout if they're 3, 5-minute timeout if you're 5. So if you're 50 years old and your buttons get pushed, you need a 50-minute timeout. Go get That's away. Good. Walk around the block. Breathe in and out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's going to help lower what's called your sympathetic nervous system by a parasympathetic response happening to calm yourself, it'll make all the difference.
What do you say to the father that's afraid to engage his daughter's emotions?
That's a lot of them. If you really don't know what to do, ask some women in your daughter's life. How could you speak into my life? Tell me how I can sit with her emotion. It means that if you're sitting there, just take breaths. You can tighten your stomach muscles. Sometimes that'll just help you give something else to kind of focus on. But really, your daughter, just like God is a father, attends to our emotions. Your daughter and your son need you to be okay with their emotions and not shut them down. And I know that's a hard one, especially when they're angry and they're throwing a fit. And you got to take some deep breaths and say, how would God as a father respond to me sitting here right now? He's not going to tell you to shut up. In fact, I'm going to give you one verse, man. One verse that's going to help you be a better father with all that your kids throw your way, whether it's emotion or words or reactivity. It's Luke 15:20, right? It's all red letter. Jesus saying, this is how my dad responded to a child who went the other way. Five things. He stood there. He saw his child. He's filled with compassion. Not judgment, not lectures, compassion, looking through the eyes of your child. You run toward them, right? You run toward, you initiate, and then you throw your arms around and kiss, find a way to embrace. There's the fivefold, I would say, directive. If you're a dad who wants to dial in to your kids' hearts, follow the directions of Jesus, who said, this is how my dad is wired.
That is so, so very good. And I know that we're out of time, but how do these fathers get the necessary resources that they need that can kind of help them out?
Well, I am all about resourcing dads. And so if you want to go to my website, drmichellewatson.com. Actually, I got married 3 years ago, so now I'm Watson Canfield, and it all feeds into the same if you put that last name, two names there. But it's all at drmichellewatson.com. Lots of free resources. I also have the Dad Whisper podcast. It's on all platforms. You can also link on my website to that, where I'm all about 7 years now resourcing fathers of daughters specifically, but a lot of those things apply to sons as well. And then I have my two books, and I write a Dad-Daughter Friday blog every other Friday, all for free. You can sign up on my website.
Amen. So good. So nice to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that God's going to continue to do great things in your life and ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonas. It was great to be here with you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, listeners. Make sure to stay up to date with Jonas Hill Ministries by subscribing to the show on any major podcast platform, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Don't forget to turn on the notification bell so you'll get an alert each time a new episode is released. Whatever platform you're listening on, please rate the podcast and leave us a review. Your feedback is valuable and helps us continue spreading the gospel message of hope, healing, and deliverance.
You've been listening to Real Life with Pastor Jonas Hill. To find out how you can book Jonas for your next speaking engagement, go to meetjonashill.com. Whether it's your next church function, corporate event, or business retreat, Jonas will be sure to engage and touch the heart of your audience. Go to meetjonashill.com to book him today. As a reminder, this show can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. If you're streaming on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate it if you could rate us and give us a review. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Real Life with Pastor Jonas Hill. This program is a ministry of Pastor Jonas Hill.
Probably know by now, Jonas is no stranger to adversity, especially not in the context of marriage. Jonas and his beautiful wife Susan have been married for nearly 30 years, during which time they have faced numerous challenges, from having an interracial marriage in a predominantly white community to financial hardship, mental health struggles, and early on in their dating relationship, an unplanned pregnancy outside of wedlock. The two have overcome tremendously. Over the years, Jonas and Susan have grown through their trials by centering their lives on the foundational truth of the gospel and by placing their hope in Jesus Christ. With a few decades and a lot of healing on their side, Jonas and Susan have cultivated a deep desire to help other couples overcome their own challenges by offering marriage seminars. If your marriage is on the rocks or maybe needs an infusion of hope or a healing perspective, these seminars were made with you in mind. Take a step to invest in your marriage today by visiting meetjonashill.com. Again, that's meetjonashill.com.